You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Good evening and welcome to Friday night FOJC Remnant Gathering. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good evening, and welcome to the April 5th, 2019 edition of the FOJC Remnant Gathering. I am David Carrico, and for the next hour and more, we're going to be studying the Word of God. So honored to have you spending some of your time on this Sabbath to study the Word of God with us. Our study for this evening is Balaam the Apostate Sorcerer, and as we always do, we're going to be going to the Lord in prayer. There are always so many people. We get a lot of prayer requests from people that have been victimized by satanic ritual abuse and by targeting, and a lot of prayer or requests from people that the husband or the wife is not equally yoked in the marriage. They want to follow the right way, and the spouse does not. And this is always a difficult situation. So we just want to lift up the ministry that we can take the Word of God and keep hammering away at the kingdom of darkness. We're so thankful for the miracles we're seeing of people being set free. And it's just an awesome thing to see God work. So we're just so thankful for that. And we just want the Lord to magnify it even more and to see a real move of His Spirit, not only here in Evansville, but all over the world. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we do thank You so much for the opportunity to come before a loving God to lift up our requests for You. And there are so many people, Father, that are victimized by satanic ritual abuse and by targeting. And Father, we just pray that You enable them to find their strength in You, that You will be unto them that strong tower that they can run to. And Father, we know that You will certainly do that. And we want to pray for all of the individuals that are not equally yoked in their marriage. Father, we pray that You just bring unity and You bring just a determination on both parts of the spouses to serve You in an undivided house. Father, we want to pray for the Passover. We pray that You'll just greatly move in this time when we come together to honor Your time. And we just pray, Father, that our Passover service just go smoothly and be a mighty outpouring and a blessing to all that are able to attend. So, Father, we just pray that during this time that You help Sister Don and I in our physical problems that we struggle with, that You'll give us that touch physically. And we just pray that You'll just anoint me in this time to bring forth Your word and clarity and truth, and help Sister Donna to keep everything running smoothly. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray and we agree. Amen and amen. Worship the Lord for a few moments, and we'll be back with our lesson, Balaam, the Apostate Sorcerer.
Troubled waters came my way, the angry storm grew near. I prayed for God to speak the word, to make it disappear. It seems the waves would not obey the master's call for peace. But then the Lord spoke to my soul, reminded me He has control, and said this time His words were meant for me.
sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm still rages on, but I feel the sweetest peace. It's such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms me. Circumstance may overtake and bring me to my knees. That's when I feel I cannot grow with this life's troubled sea. I call on him whose voice can still much greater storms than these. His words bring peace into my soul. He says, child, I'm in control. And with one touch, he calms the storm in me. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm still rages on, but I feel the sweetest peace. It's such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms me. It's such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he calms the storm, he calms me.
Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Good to see first-time listener in the chat. We have been praying for you in all that you've been dealing with. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land, and the children of his people to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou hast blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And in our text of our lesson this evening, Balak the king of Moab is calling for Balaam to curse Israel. And to understand the story, we have to get a feel of just what this guy Balaam is all about. Is he a godly man, an ungodly man? And we'll try to figure him out. But the word Balaam in the Hebrew is 1109, and it means destruction of the people. You know, and when you've got a name that means destruction of the people, that's probably not a good thing. And his father, Beor, that word means torch or lamp. And when I hear that, all I can think about is the torch that's coming out of the head of the Baphomet. And also in Genesis chapter 36, there is an Edomite by the name of Beor. So it's an Edomite name. So Balaam is an Edomite, and to understand Balaam, the proper way to understand him is as an apostate. He was a godly prophet that went wrong. And when we understand that about him, we'll be able to get the whole story in perspective. Now, in the book of Jasher, there's a very important little tidbit that really goes along with Scripture that helps us to get a focus on this guy. And in Jasher chapter 79, verse 27, "And when they had gone, Pharaoh sent for Balaam the magician, and to Jannes and Jambres his sons, and to all the magicians and conjurers and counselors which belonged to the king, and they all came and sat before the king." So it was Balaam and his sons that were directly opposing Moses. And in the book of 2 Timothy 3:8, when it speaks of Jannes and Jambres, it gives us the qualification that they were reprobates. In 2 Timothy 3:8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." So when we look at Jannes and Jambres and Balaam, they were people that once had a relationship with God, but turned from that and became apostates. Now, when we think about here at the time period when Moses is just now bringing the children of Israel into Canaan, we think, how do we have someone that's not an Israelite that's a true prophet of God? How does that work? You know, here's a guy that's an Edomite, yet he is a true prophet. And we've said this before, when we study the Edomites and the Israelites and the two bloodlines, there were people in the line of Esau that were godly. And there were many, many, many people in the line of Jacob that were ungodly. So, you know, that genetic bloodline doesn't always tell the story, because people can break their bloodlines if they want to. Now, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, we see the godly remnant coming together and to begin to consolidate in the children of Seth. And God has always had his remnant. It didn't just begin with Abraham, and it didn't just begin with Moses. God has always had his people. And in Genesis 4:26, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So it goes back before Moses. It goes back before Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 14, we see Abraham. And here is the key to understanding Balaam. He was a member of the Melchizedek priesthood. He worshiped God upon the altar. And they were set up many times upon the Bama. And we've studied this before too, that originally the worship on the high places was a godly thing instituted by the Melchizedek priesthood, and this was taken over by the pagans. And in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18, when Abraham is coming back from the slaughter of the kings, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." So already here, when God began to call out the Hebrew people, Abraham the Hebrew started the ethnic line of the Israelites. Already when that was started, there were already priests in the Melchizedek priesthood that were preaching truth. And we need to understand that we as believers, we're not plugging in to the Levitical priesthood. We're not plugging in to the Zadokite priesthood. But we are a part of the Melchizedek priesthood. And that was the priesthood that Christ was a part of. So many people are so hung up. They're wild about the Levitical priesthood. And I am too. You know, to study it, it's great. But they believe that at the cross, the Levitical system didn't stop. They believe in a dual covenant theology. Monty Judah and a lot of these guys, they want to throw the book of Hebrews out because they want to get people in under that first covenant, you see. And that new covenant teaching in Hebrews is very troublesome for them. So, you see, we have to understand that we're not coming in that Levitical system. We're coming into that priesthood that was there when it began. That's the one that Christ is a part of. And in Hebrews chapter 5, and let's read verses 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we are priests of the Most High God, and the priesthood that we're a part of is the priesthood of Melchizedek. And that's what Balaam was. He was an Edomite, but he was following the true God and worshiping in the priesthood of Melchizedek. But we're going to see that this guy went wrong. Now, it's right in Torah. Torah does not disallow the Melchizedek priesthood. In the Torah, the altar for the Melchizedek priesthood is right there. Let's look at Exodus 20:24. And we've studied this before, how that the prophets were led. We see Elijah doing this. He was led by the Spirit of God to set up an altar on Mount Carmel. And there's a lot of instances of this. But in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And this is the altar that was set up as the prophets were led by the Spirit of God to worship in the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. So the priesthood of Melchizedek did not stop when the Levitical priesthood began. They run side by side. Now, let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 33, and let's get the big perspective here. We see the children of Israel, they're about to cross over into the promised land, and this is when Satan gets nervous. And this is the same way with us. When we're about to cross over and really become an instrument that's going to really do damage to the kingdom of darkness, Satan is going to get nervous. In the text, in Numbers chapter 33, and beginning in verse 50, And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan in the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. You see, Moses did not come in looking for... Something wrong, Sister Donna? Numbers 33, 50-52. Okay. Now, when we're about to cross over and really start to do damage, you see, and we're not just talking about your average church person that goes right along with the idolatrous program, but these are the people, they were going in there to throw down the idols, to break down the kingdom of darkness. They weren't looking for a treaty, you know? And that's the way we are this evening. I'm not looking for a treaty with the kingdom of darkness. I'm letting them know I'm coming at you. We're going to tear down those idols. We're going to see people set free from chains of darkness. We're not here to compromise, but we are here to cross over and tear down the kingdom of darkness. And when you do that, this is exactly where Israel was at. They were crossing over, and they were getting a little bit scary to the kingdom of darkness. And they thought, I am going to come against them with witchcraft. And I guarantee you, when you're in this situation, the enemy will come against you with witchcraft. And right in this story, in this text, is a scripture that I rely upon daily. In Numbers 23:23, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? There is no enchantment against Israel. When we shut our doors and cover ourselves with the blood and stand by faith in the cross, there is nothing that the enemy can do to us. And you see, this is the defensive posture. And when we get our defense set, we're not going to be satisfied with just having defense, but we're going to break out and we're going to have a little offense. In Micah chapter 2, verse 13, the scripture says this: the breaker is come up before them. You see, and this is what Moab was saying when they saw Israel coming. Oh, here comes the breaker. They're going to break it up. They're going to tear it down. You see, and these ministries that they'll just have this little nicey nice stuff, but they never tell people to repent of their idolatry, to repent of their abominations. The devil doesn't care about them. Churches like this, the devil will wake you up on Sunday morning so you can go to their churches, and the devil will tell you to support these ministries because this just supports the Satan's program. But you see, that's not the way the breaker works. When the breaker comes up and Satan sees it, he's going to go wild and he's going to say, I'm going to curse that person. And we have to understand, Numbers 23:23, this is where we stand. Let's read the scripture. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up. They have passed through the gate. They are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. It was said of Israel when they were camped here in the cursing of Balaam that the shout of a king was in their midst. And when we have the shout of a king, we will become the breaker. But see, until people do it this way, you're not even in the ball game. This so-called Christianity that's wanting to make a truce with the devil, this is not Christianity at all. The mission of the Son of God in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what we are about. We are here to destroy the works of the devil. We are here to raise up disciples that will destroy the works of the devil, that will tell people that it's time to repent of the idolatry and paganism and come forth as the camp of the Israel of God, as the breaker, just like it was here as Israel was in their confrontation as they were about to cross over. Now, let's go to the text here in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 7, and we're going to begin analyzing just where Balaam went wrong. And as it is said in Scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil. Numbers 22 and 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. The rewards of divination. Now, the minute that a ministry thinks about using the Word of God for money, they are going wrong. They are looking for the rewards of divination. Now, there are deliverance ministries that will minister deliverance to you if you pay them. And you have to pay them. I saw one the other day. Level 1 is so much money. Level 2 is so much money. Level 3 is so much money. That's what you call peddling the Word of God. When someone really has the truth of God to set you free, they're not going to sell it. And you don't need, you see, people don't need this nonsense. You would be better off having a Christian brother and sister that you know pray for you than giving money to one of these ministries that's wanting to rip you off to set you free. That's the rewards of divination. That's nonsense, and it needs to stop. And the only way it will stop is when people stop supporting this nonsense, because that's what it is. It's the rewards of divination. Now, in the book of Jasher, 79:30. The doctrine of Christ says in Matthew 10, freely ye received, freely give. People need to quit selling the gospel. And this is an immediate thing. When you hear this, shut it off immediately. Jasher 79:30. And there's another insight into the conflict here. And this is when Balaam and his sons were confronting Moses in 79:30 in Jasher. It said, and Balaam the son of Beor the magician answered the king, saying, these are none else than magicians like ourselves. And I would say, oh, no. It is nothing comparable between what the Spirit of God does and what magicians do. You see, we do what we do in the Spirit of the living God. And the magicians, they're just imitating what we do. But this is the attitude. You see, when a child of God or a true prophet of God, when they think that they can take the gift of God and use it to make money and use it as a magician would. And you see, that's what a magician would do. You could pay them money to curse somebody or do this and do that. And then you reduce God unto someone that can be manipulated like a pagan god. God is not moved through pagan ritual or through any of these things. God is moved by his children that have a relationship with him by grace through faith. That is what moves the heart of God. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and let's read in the Torah the things here that help us understand what divination is. And basically what divination is trying to obtain secret knowledge by some kind of an occult means. Tea leaves, tarot cards, Ouija boards, crystal balls. These are all means of divination. And when people seek unto divination, I was reading the other day about a medium, a channeler, Jane Roberts, who channels the devil called Seth. And it was when she and her husband were getting into the Ouija board that all of a sudden this devil became her spirit guide and has been with her for years. That's very dangerous. When you start to look under the dark side for occult information and revelation, this is a sure way to become demonized very, very quickly and even demon-possessed. In Deuteronomy 18, let's begin in verse 9. And here again, here I am being the breaker. You know, people need to repent. They need to knock it off. Someone told me the other day that he was there and his Sunday school teacher, that might be your first mistake right there, but his Sunday school teacher was teaching him and talking about what he learned from his horoscope. You know, abomination. It's time to separate and repent from this nonsense. Deuteronomy 18:9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And you see, we need to understand when the Word of God says thou shalt not do this, that we really better not do it, or there's going to be a payday. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times. And by the way, when you observe the time of the first moon after the spring equinox as Easter, and then you observe the time of Christmas, you're observing times that are pagan. You need to stop observing pagan times. It's abomination. And in the book of Leviticus, it says not to do any of these abominable customs or you'll be cut off. So maybe, you know, this is okay if we do it, or maybe it isn't. No, it's abomination. People need to knock the nonsense off. In verse 11, or let's read 10 again. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And the American Evangelical Church is filled with this stuff. It has become an abomination to God, and for this reason, our country is coming under judgment. The reason why our country is coming under judgment, it's not because of the homosexuals or the witches or the Freemasons. It's because of the apostate church that has turned from the truth. Judgment will begin there at the house of God, and it will spread out. And it's the, I heard a friend of mine one time, he used the term pansies in the pulpit. And I think that applies very much. It's because of the pansies in the pulpit that are preaching for the rewards of divination and not to see people set free from their chains. This is the number one reason that we're going to see judgment fall upon our nation. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, let's read the scripture. And in the Protestant Reformation, they had a saying, sola scriptura, and that meant scripture only. And that's our position. We are still on sola scriptura. Nothing else we look to for spiritual truth. Not the Kabbalah, not the Talmud, not Gnosticism. It's cut off 100%. Not even a little bit of it. We look to the Word of God. And this was the position in before the cross. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You see, and there are parameters here in the Word of God. When you go over this line, you see there's a big line in the sand here. And when you go over it, you have no light, you see. And the minute that a true prophet of God moves in to the rewards of divination, at that point, you go across the line. There are parameters in the Word of God. And if we will stay within those parameters, we will see the blessings of God from the real Holy Spirit. But when you color outside of the lines, at that point, this is when the bus is going to crash. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 22. And let's look at verse 8. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, This is very, very interesting because in this scripture, the Balaam uses Yod Heh Vav Heh for the name of God. Now, this is very important because this was revealed to Moses in Exodus 3:14. So, this shows that Balaam knew what was going on. And just as a rundown here, I'm going to give you a little rundown. This will show you that God's not a sacred namer. We read the scripture in Genesis 4:26. They were calling on the name of the Lord before the name of God, Yod Heh Vav Heh, was revealed unto Moses in Exodus 3:14. And the Father, the Godhead, is revealed by many names in Scripture. And this is a little rundown. This is from the New Interpreter's Commentary on the names of God used in our text today. It says, the personal name of God, Yahweh Lord, appears 17 times, 9 in speeches by Balaam, twice by Balak, and 5 times by the narrator of the story. Elohim occurs 9 times, once by Balaam, once by Balak, and 7 times by the narrator of the story. The combination Yahweh Elohim is used twice in speeches by Balaam, 22:18, 23:21. Other names for God also appear in speeches by Balaam, El, and 7 times, Elyon, Most High once, Shaddai, Almighty twice, and 10 references to the messenger of Yahweh. So, you see, when people begin to get into this sacred name nonsense, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And when they do, shut it off, because it's just going to fill your head with nonsense. Now, here, let's go to the revelation of the name to Exodus chapter 3. And every name of God, it reveals a very important aspect of the nature of the one true God. Now, when we look at the revelation of the name in Exodus chapter 3, and let's look at verse 14 and following. When the name of God was revealed to Moses, it was in connection with Israel inheriting the land. Now, let's read it. Exodus 3, 14 through 17. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites. And you see, in the revelation of the name Yod Heh Vav Heh, this was the covenant name that God was going to give them the land. So now Balaam knew this, you see, because he's using Yod Heh Vav Heh. So now, as Israel's coming into the land, we see Balaam cursing them with full knowledge that God is going to give them that land. And many preachers stand in the same position today. They know these scriptures are in the Bible, that divination is a sin, that these occult things are a sin, but for money, they are willing to curse the people of God by holding back the truth from them that will set them free, and they allow this ignorance and this idolatry continue, and it is all for the rewards of divination. And just like Balaam, they have knowledge of what they're doing, and they will be held accountable. Now, in Numbers chapter 22, let's read verses 9 through 13. And this is something very important. The thing that the king of Moab understood is that there were power in our words to bless and to curse. Balaam understood this. And this can be done in a right and a godly way in spiritual warfare. And this also, when a true prophet of God goes off the rails, it can become, there's a very fine line from the gifts of the Spirit to operating under an unclean spirit. And it, they can imitate it, and it can look very much the same. There are many ministries today that are known for the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit, but when you look at what they're saying, it's hard to believe that it's the true one. In Numbers 22, let's begin with verse 9. And God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come up out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." But then we know that later Balaam gave in. You see, now this is like a burning bosom. The Mormons will come to you and they'll say, "I want you to pray if the Book of Mormon is true or not." And you see, it's filled with such nonsense and such contradictions to the Word of God. We should never do that. That is tempting God big time. Now here, God had already said, "Balaam, don't go." But later, he says, when they're offering money, they say, "Well, let me pray about this," you see. And when we, whenever something is in the Word of God, just like the pagan holidays, it says do not observe times, it says don't do any of these abominable customs, and then people will say, "Well, let me pray about that to see what the right thing to do will be." And you'll get, many times, people get a demonic spiritual confirmation that will tell them, "Yeah, you're okay in what you're doing. Just keep going. Sure you will." And you override the conviction of the Spirit of God with a false encouragement from an unclean spirit. And this is just exactly what's going on. Well, I tell you what, I think we're going to take a break here. And we got a lot more stuff to talk about here on the FOJC Remnant Gathering. Balaam the Apostate Sorcerer. We'll be right back in a minute.
You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Thank you for joining us here at the Remnant Gathering. We meet here every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Time. And when we're not here live, we have Auto DJ that plays 24/7, so you can always hear something. There's also some music hours on our Auto DJ that plays throughout the day. So come and join us anytime here on FOJC Radio. And we also have FOJC Radio on YouTube. It's the one with the open door. And you can also hear us on Now You See TV. David's famous for the Midnight Ride. It's every Saturday night at nowyoucetv.org. The Midnight Ride starts at 10 p.m. Central Time, so hang on to your hat, bring your coffee, and come join us on Now You See TV. That's right, spell it out, nowyoucetv.org. And thanks again for listening to our programs. Shalom and blessings to all of you.
My heart. I'll let life slip and flow. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken string, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. My every longing keeps me singing as I go.
Now back to tonight's message with Brother David Carrico on FOJC Radio.
Welcome back to the FOJC Remnant Gathering. And as we always do at break, we just want to thank all of you for praying for us and supporting us with your kindness and your gifts. We really do appreciate it so very, very much. And we got a lot more work to do, so we're going to get back into our study. And as we go into Numbers 22, we see this process setting forth where in verse 15, we see the ante being upped and the temptation being greater. In verse 14, it says, "And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor." And now not just money, but power and position was offered unto Balaam. And here's where he goes wrong. Now in verse 19, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me." He had already been told not to do it, but now he says, "Yeah, now I'll pray about it. We'll see if we can't do something here." Because he now had purposed in his heart that he wanted to do this. Now, when you make up your mind that you want to justify something that you're doing, you can justify it, whether it's the pagan holidays, Freemasonry, you name it. Satan will give you a demonic confirmation that you're on the right road if you tempt God and knowingly disobey him. We are to obey the word of God. And this is just exactly the temptation that Jesus overcame for us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says, "And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." The same thing that was happening unto Balaam. Satan will do the same thing to you if you'll just worship me. And if you, and it won't mean, you know, just outright Satan worship. If you'll just compromise and bring in the things of ungodliness, and at that point you are worshiping Satan and not God, when you do not worship God in spirit and in truth. And this is how that Satan gets people to compromise. It's an old game, but let me tell you, it really, really works very well. Now, this is what happens to a child of God or a prophet the minute that they do that. You see, when in your heart you fall into that temptation, and what you're really saying is, I want to do this thing, and I'm going to see, I know the Bible says we shouldn't, but I'm going to pray about it and see if I got a little wiggle room here. And when this happens, you've set an idol and a stumbling block up in your heart. And in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 4, this is what happens. Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Wow. And here's what happens. Not only does an individual get a demonic confirmation from a devil, yeah, go this way, go that way, but in the story of Balaam, we see God saying, yeah, go ahead and go. You see, you will get an answer according to the idols of your heart. We are to obey the word, and when the word says something, we're to do it. It's not negotiable. And when we do not obey and we set that idol up and begin to justify it, people lapse into reprobation, they lapse into apostasy, and it's like the old frog in the pot of water. It happens so naturally and so smoothly. People are totally backslid on the way to hell, and they think that they're serving God. They're having an unclean spirit move upon them, and they think it's the Holy Spirit. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, let's look what the book of Revelation says. And you see, Balaam wasn't just a problem when the children of Israel were crossing over into the promised land. It's a problem for every child of God that wants to cross over. When a person's born again, Satan's goal is to keep them from becoming a breaker Christian that's going to have the spirit of the breaker on them, that's going to go through and break up and destroy the kingdom of the evil one. Now, in Revelation 2, verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast here them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. This is what Balaam does. He'll cast a stumbling block, and Balaam will say, you know, it's okay to do this. It's okay. And this stumbling block becomes an idol in your heart, to where the confirmations that you're on the wrong road, you're on the right road while you're really on the wrong road, you see. And this is what reprobation and apostasy is. And the scripture tells us that the last days, that they will be days of apostasy. And what that means is that someone that has had the truth turns from the truth. And there are preachers on TV and radio that you can hear from sunup to sundown that will tell you not to worry about that, because it's impossible for a Christian to apostatize, you know. And it just piles on. The lies just pile on and pile on and pile on. And the truth is so simple. We just obey the word of God. We obey the doctrine of Christ, but always the complications of the enemy want to cloud our minds and to put us on the wrong path. Now, in Numbers 22:22, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Now, this is so fascinating. The father said, don't go, very clearly to him. And then Balaam prayed about it. And then the father said, okay. And because he went, God's anger was kindled against him. Now, there are many people today that are professing faith in Christ, and God's anger is kindled against them. The wrath of God is upon them in a way that is even greater than the wrath of God is upon those that have never known him. In the Epistle of Peter, it talks about the hog returning to the vomit. And it says it would have been better for that person that they would have never known the Father at all. Now, in the book of Exodus 23, let's read verse 20 and following. Behold, I send an angel before thee. That was Jesus, the angel of the Lord, that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. That was Jesus as the angel of the Lord. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, you see. And do you ever think about Jesus? Beware of him? Well, we better have a little fear of the Lord. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. All we have to do is obey, and God will fight our enemies. But if you don't obey, you're on your own. And that's not a very good place to be. Very simple, isn't it? All you got to do is obey. But why does Satan always succeed in getting people to do what they plainly know they shouldn't do? And there's just all kinds of layers to that. Now, let's go back to Numbers 22, and let's think about Balaam's ass a little bit. And I'm going to tell you why that I feel just like Balaam's ass. Numbers 22, let's read verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Now, well, let's read 26 and 27. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and she smote the ass with the staff. Now, I do feel just like Balaam's ass, because I can see the angel of the Lord standing in the path of so many people that are professing Christ, and he's going to kill you. You better beware of the angel of the Lord. He's going to cut you down because you are doing things that are clearly forbidden in the Word of God. And here I am, I'm Balaam's ass. I'm saying, hey, the angel of the Lord there, he's going to kill you. Repent of this, repent of that. And people just get angry and they want to beat on me, just like old Balaam's ass. But you see, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, this is the way it works. And this is why so many people won't tell people the truth. Because when you tell people the truth, and when you do it in a right and proper way, just saying, you know, God says this and we better do it. This is what happens, and this is what happened to Paul in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. And this will happen to you. It'll happen to every child of God. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And this is what happens when you will tell people the truth you'll become Balaam's ass, and they'll start to beat on you. But you see, the ass was faithful, and he was beaten. They kept beating him, but he held the course, and finally, Balaam opened his eyes, and he realized that he was being told the truth. Now, that'll happen sometimes. Sometimes you'll take a beating, and people will open their eyes, and sometimes they'll just want to keep beating on you. But when we're in the Lord, we can take that beating because we know why we're doing it. Now, there's a Psalm 7. Let's read Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. And I remember reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on this text, Turn or Burn. It was a great sermon. And Psalm 7, 11 and 12. And this is what it says. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Wow. Turn or burn. And this is the way people are. People that are walking in disobedience to God and they think it's okay, they better turn because the angel of the Lord is standing in the path and he will cut you down. And in the story of Balaam and his ass, we see the place where Balaam is someone that supposedly a man of God, and he was originally, and he turned from it. And he was being told the truth here by his animal. And rather than turn from the truth, he beat on the ass. And today we have Balaams filling the pulpit of almost every church in America. They're full of Balaams, and they're not going to tell people to repent. They're just going to reinforce them in their apostasy. So when people like you and I come along saying you need to repent, what's going to happen? We are going to become the focus of their animosity. This is what Jesus said would happen in John 16. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. Now that's for us, folks. This is so we won't be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. We are going to be hated because we follow Jesus and his doctrine and want to obey all of Scripture. People will hate us. That's just the way it's going to be. We will be Balaam's ass, and it will come to the point where beating the ass won't be enough. They're going to want to kill him. And this is a unavoidable consequence. Now, in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Now, that was Jesus. That was Jesus as the angel of the Lord standing in the path. And we know that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we have this assurance. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're going to walk in disobedience, you better beware of Jesus. You better beware, because he will return in Revelation 19. You can read it. He will have a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth, and he will slay the wicked. So you better beware. You better kiss the Son, lest he be angry, as the psalmist said. But when we walk in obedience, I tell you what, He will be an enemy to your enemies. You will go forth with the spirit of the breaker. You won't have to mealy-mouth around like some mamby-pamby little coward that's afraid to say anything. You can speak the truth in love, and you can see the chains fall off of those that will turn unto the Lord with a pure heart. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, here is the angel of the Lord with the sword again. Joshua 5, beginning in verse 13, then he made him that remaineth have dominion over, Judges. That ain't going to work. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Here we go. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, the captain of the Lord's host, he's got that sword. Now, if you follow him, he will vanquish the enemy, and all you have to do is follow him as he turns his sword loose on the kingdom of darkness. But if you disobey him before he goes into the enemy's camp, he will stand in the path and cut you down, because you cannot follow the captain of the Lord's hosts unless you do so in obedience. Now, in Jude 11, in the Christian scriptures, it gets right to the heart of the problem. And I say this often, and you can't say it enough. And I wish there were a lot more ministries saying it. But sad to say, you're not going to hear it. But in Jude 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. They sell out the truth for money and perished in the gainsayings of Kor. And we have read several times from the Didache and chapter 11, and I want to read it again. These are golden, and this shows the standard that the early church had. In the early apostolic church, 90% or more of these ministries wouldn't even be recognized as Christian ministries. And for this reason, money, 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 money. I'll pray for you. Send in $100. We'll take you through level one. Didache chapter 11, verse 6. And when the apostle leaves, he is to take nothing except bread until he finds his next night lodging. But if he asks for money, he's a false prophet. You know, and we've seen this in this Simon the sorcerer. Simon went for the cash. Right there, he's gone. You see, Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. And this is one of the marks of a true ministry. In verse 6, it says here, verse 6, I want verse 12. We just read that. Verse 12, Didache 11 and 12. But if anyone should say in the Spirit, give me money or anything else, do not listen to him. But if he tells you to give on behalf of others who are in need, let no one judge him. And you see, one of the big problems is that people want to follow Jesus, but they don't want to do ministry the way he did. He didn't say, go build buildings. And he didn't say, take up your tithes and your offerings, you see. And when people go out and they think that to have ministry, well, I got to buy a building, and then we're going to get a debt. So now we're going to have to hit the people up for money over and over and over. You see, there's your first problem. Nobody told you to go get a building. In the apostolic church, they went into the homes. And you see, this is the way to do true ministry. And you don't need a ton of money to do that, you see. And this is where everything always goes south, is money, 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 the love of money. And if people would do ministry the way it was set up, you wouldn't be able to build these mega churches. And that's what people want. They want the big churches. They want the power, the name, the prestige, the money. And it's wrong, 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 wrong. The whole thing's wrong, you see. And when people come out of the evangelical church and do the same things that was done there, you haven't gained anything. You see, there needs to be total, complete repentance and a falling at the feet of Christ to obey Him. Freely receive, freely give. Stop selling the gospel. Stop peddling deliverance. This is not of God, and all you are when you're doing that, you're just a little Balaam. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, and I'm in 1 Peter. I'm doing a good job of getting my books wrong this evening. All right, here we go. 2 Peter 2:15. Which have forsaken the right way. Now note here, to forsake the right way, that means you were at one time on the right way, you see. Which have forsaken the right way. You see, this is what we're looking at. Apostasy, reprobation. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You see, this will take you down the right road every time. Now, a couple more things. Two or three more thoughts I want to share with you in the episode of Balaam here that are very important. There's so always so much in Scripture that we can bring out. But some other really important things here. Let's go to Numbers 25. And it tells in Scripture that Moses and the Israelites, that they killed Balaam. He was slaughtered. And we want to think about the concept of iniquity. You see, Numbers 25, 1 through 5. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. This gives you God's opinion of idolatry. He told Moses, just take them, hang them, let the sun shine on them. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And always I have to say, I'm not saying kill anybody, because we're not in the land. We are now a nation without borders. We are the Israel of God, and we don't have an army, and we don't have geographical borders. So we don't kill people, but I want to say very clearly, God will kill you. If you don't repent of your idolatry, the angel of the Lord will take his sword, and he will cut you down sooner or later. Now, in this episode, which Scripture attributes to Balaam, that he told Moab, he told Balak, you know, well, I can't curse these people. They're blessed, and I can't curse what God has blessed. But what we can do, we can have the girls here dress up nice and foxy, and we can have a big feast here. And when they come over to the pagan feast, the girls will seduce them, and it worked real well. And the girl said, now, if you worship the pagan god, you know, we can just have ourselves a time. And this is another very old program that Satan has used for a long time, and it worked well. And when the people fell for it, Moses said, take them and hang them. You know, God has, and I can't say this strong enough, God has a zero tolerance level for idolatry. This is why you'll hear me be such a stickler on these things. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. And stay away from the Kabbalistic and the Gnostic poison that people are trying to put into the body constantly. Satan is working overtime to pollute the body, and when they succeed, people begin to go down that path where the angel of the Lord is standing with that drawn sword in your path. Now, let's go to Joshua. And this is very important because there is an iniquity of Balaam. And we see this in Joshua 22:17. It says here, is the iniquity of Peor. And we just read of what happened at Baal Peor, where the children of Israel entered into idolatry with the daughters of Moab. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? When people partake of the spirit of Balaam, which is idolatry, it's sexual licentiousness, it's using the Word of God for money. This is an iniquity. And there are many people that know that sexual immorality is wrong, that they know immorality is wrong, but they love ministries that are in it for the money. Freely you receive, freely give. It's an iniquity that people need to be cleansed of. It is an iniquity that will kill you dead. You see, we must be cleansed from the iniquity of Baal Peor, because until we set down our idols and follow the one that said, freely you receive, freely give, you see, he is still the captain of the Lord's host. He is here to destroy the works of the devil. He is going to take that sword and he is going to charge into the enemy camp. Now, as the battle is ready to begin, everyone has to make their mind up if you are going to go with him, or is he going to have to stand in the path and knock your goofy head out before he goes on. You see, this is right where we're at. We are standing at the time when God wants to take the remnant and break forth like never before into the kingdom of darkness. And we all have to make our mind up which way we're going to go. And it's only if we're going to march with the captain of the host of the Lord, we're going to have to obey him. And this is just the way that breaks down. Now, Numbers 23, verse 4. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 4. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, Balaam says unto God, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. Now, you see, Balaam, once he purposes in his heart that he is going to start selling the Word of God and start selling his spiritual gifts, he lapses from relying on a relationship. He builds 7 altars. Why is that significant? All through, we have taught many, many lessons about the number 7. We know that it's God's perfect number, but this is the number everything God does, Satan wants to imitate and pervert. And the number 7 in the dark spiritual realm is so significant. The 7 Pleiades, the 7 Plantes, there are the 7 angels of the 7 levels that is in the Kabbalah, that is in Gnosticism. These are the powers that are invoked. And Balaam crossed the line. He was saying, I'm a true man of God, but he was doing a ritual that was invoking the powers of darkness. Now, this is important for us for this reason, because binding the spirits of the Plantes and the Pleiades, which is very scriptural, Job 38, we will come against those that are trying to curse us. You see, child of God, as we cross over in this time, the enemy will want to curse you. But we don't come as some little mealy mouth that's afraid, wanting to make some kind of deal. You know, we're not Monty Hall here saying, let's make a deal. But we're saying, look out, here we come. We have no quarter. We are coming behind the captain of the Lord's host, and you are on the wrong side of this battle. Now, Numbers, let's read Numbers 24:2. Two more things. Numbers 24:2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to the tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, there is a certain type of witchcraft and divination that people do while they are looking at you. Now, I've experienced this, and there are people on the dark side that when they visually make contact with you, they are cursing you through, it's called the evil eye. Yeshua talked about your eye being evil. And there's some people that you just don't want to get around. And this is what that Balak wanted Balaam to do, to look upon them and use this kind of witchcraft. But then the Spirit of God came on him and stopped him. He couldn't do it because they were blessed, you see. So there are some people that, and I imagine there are probably a lot of you that have experienced this, that have had situations where you've sensed this. But there's a reality, and there's some people that, you know, you can bind this when you see it coming and when you sense it. And there's some people you just don't want to get around because they're just no goodniks, as Boris and Natasha would say. Two more scriptures. Numbers 24:7. And in Numbers 24:7, it says, he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. And this is speaking here in the Masoretic text of the kingdom of Israel and the bloodline of Israel being exalted over the line of Esau. And as we said, and Agag was an Edomite king, and as we brought out in the beginning of the lesson, that Beor, Balaam's father, that was an Edomite name. We see it in the genealogies in Genesis chapter 36. Now, the Septuagint, as I have said, I always take the Hebrew Masoretic text as my authority, and I will use the Septuagint as a commentary. And here's somewhere that it's very interesting how the Septuagint interprets this scripture. And it's an interpretation, it's not a translation. But this is what it says, and it's very profound. In the Septuagint, this is how Numbers 24:7 reads. There shall come a man out of his seed, and he shall rule over many nations, and the kingdom of Gog shall be exalted, and his kingdom shall be increased. And this speaks of the last days when, and you see Gog, now Agag is replaced with Gog. And in this text, it speaks of a end time revival, if you will, of the spirit of Balaam and how that it's going to be greatly increased. And I believe that this is certainly very obviously true, that the spirit of Balaam and the spirit of Gog, that it is rampant. But you see, that doesn't matter because they are on the wrong side of this fight. We go behind the captain of the Lord's host with the drawn sword, and he is going to vanquish the enemy. All we have to do is follow our King. And with that, we're going to stop. I want to thank you all so much, as I always do, for studying with us. And tomorrow night on the Midnight Ride, I will be in the studio with John, and we're going to be talking about the Star Forts of Tartaria. And I guarantee you an absolutely wild Midnight Ride. And with that, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, as we always do, for the opportunity of sharing your word. We just pray, Father, that we just march behind our King as he goes forward into the enemy camp. It's all about you, Father. It's not about us. It's all about you. So we love you, and we just pray that you bind God's true remnant together. Give us the heart of a lion, that we can go and destroy the works of the devil. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all, and we will see you next Friday night, 6 p.m. Central, on the FOJC Remnant Gathering.
Thank you for being a part of our Friday night FOJC Remnant Gathering. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can check our website out at www.fojcradio.com, or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com, or you could call us at 812-473-3735. Thanks, and God bless.